That school bell reminds us it's time again for the Warren County Radio Bible School. And so get your Bible and turn to 1 Kings chapter 11, verses 6 through 11, where we're going to be studying for our text. We're talking about Solomon and his reign. He began so well, and at the peak he looked worldly-wise to be doing so well. But as he prospered in these things of the world, so he began to fall in those things of the Spirit. And it was a sad downfall. And we'll be consulting Elam's notes as we study Solomon and this text from 1 Kings 11, 6 through 11. While you're getting your Bible and turning there, I will remind you that the Warren County Radio Bible School is brought to you by the Church of Christ at Rock Cliff. Our meeting house is located between McMinnville and Biola at the foot of Ben Lomond, just across from Mount Zion Road. We have Sunday Bible study at 9 a.m., followed by worship at 10 a.m., Sunday evening worship at 6 p.m., and Wednesday evening Bible study at 7 p.m., and all are welcome to all of our assemblies. I am Bill Boyd, the preacher at Rock Cliff, and the superintendent of this radio Bible school. And let me tell you this. When you come and visit us at Rock Cliff, you're going to be gathered together with a group of people that believe the Bible. All of the Bible. Every word of the Bible. We believe all those Bible stories to be true. One of the things we were studying in our Wednesday night class recently is how those Bible stories are so tied into the Bible doctrines and that reveal to us the Bible truth. You find someone that goes through the Bible and decides, now I believe this part of the Bible, but I don't believe this verse or this part of the Bible, then you have someone that doesn't believe the Bible at all. We do not sit in judgment of God's Word when we study it together. Rather, it sits in judgment of us. It is this respect and faith that we have in the Word of God that make us the people that we are and make us the church that we are. If you want to see what a church like that looks like, then come by and visit us at the Church of Christ at Rock Cliff and see for yourself. But now let's get to our study about Solomon's fall. Here's how Solomon fell. His wives turned his heart after other gods. This was not done when Solomon was young, and his heart was absorbed in building God's temple and in other services to God. Neither did he have all these wives then. He did not marry them all in a day. His heart was not perfect with Jehovah, as was the heart of David his father, as we read in that book of 1 Kings chapter, 1 Kings 11 and verse 4. He married these women, and that he married them shows that his heart was not perfect before God. A perfect heart is one that seeks the honor and glory of God, that is loyal to God, and that does God's will, and desires it to prevail over all. God must be loved with the whole heart. Matthew chapter 22 and verse 37 and 38. We see that they said unto him, Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy mind. This is the first and great commandment. A divided allegiance is rejected by God. In his prayer to God for Solomon at the beginning of his reign, David said, Give unto Solomon, my son, a perfect heart, to keep thy commandments, thy testimonies, and thy statutes, and to do all these things, and to build the palace for which I have made provision. 1 Chronicles chapter 29 and verse 19. David yielded to temptation and made mistakes, but his heart was loyal to God and always to God, and it was his sole desire to see God's will prevail. David's heart went fully after Jehovah. And God says of David, who followed me with all his heart to do that which was right in mine eyes, 1 Kings chapter 4 and verse 18, the heart embraces the inner man. That contains the issues of life. We read in Proverbs chapter 24 and verse 3, keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. Proverbs 6 and verse 18, we read about a heart that deviseth wicked purposes, and feet that are swift in running to mischief. In Proverbs chapter 17 and verse 20, he that hath a wayward heart findeth no good, and he that hath a perverse tongue falleth into mischief. In Genesis chapter 6 and verse 5, we read that Jehovah saw the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. In Matthew chapter 15, 18 through 20, but the things which proceed out of the mouth cometh forth out of the heart, and they defile the man. For out of the heart cometh forth evil thoughts, and murders, adulteries, fornications, thefts, false witnesses, railings. These are the things which defile the man, but to eat with unwashed hands defileth not the man. Psalm 19 and in verse 14, let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight. O Jehovah, my rock and my redeemer, hence it must be kept. The heart, that is, the heart must be kept with all diligence. With their flattery, customs, and heathen natures, these foreign wives of Solomon turned his heart. And Solomon went after the Ashtoreth, the goddess of the Zidonians, and after Milcom, the abomination of the Ammonites. 1 Kings chapter 11 and verse 5. And then we read in 1 Kings 11, verses 7 and 8, then did Solomon build a high place for Chemosh, the abomination of Moab, in the mount that is before Jerusalem, and for Molech, the abomination of the children of Ammon. And so did he for all his foreign wives who burnt incense and sacrificed to their gods. From the statement that Solomon built the high places for the gods of his wives and that they burned incense and sacrificed to their gods, it seems that he only aided idolatry. But from the statement that he went after Ashtaroth and after Milcom, and from a statement in verse 33 that the people of Judah worshiped these idols, it seemed that Solomon did too. God held Solomon responsible for this idolatry among the Israelites. Ashtaroth was the Phoenician goddess Ashtar, and corresponds to the Roman Venus. The worship of this goddess is commonly named with that of Baal in Judges 2 and verse 13, and in 2 Samuel 7, verse 4. Much licentiousness was connected with the worship of the Ashtaroth. Milcom, or Molech, was a god of the Ammonites. Chemosh was a god of the Moabites. Molech was a fire god to which human sacrifices were made. It is said that Molech was a hollow image of brass with outstretched arms, and that when heated red hot, the victims were thrown into these arms and slipped down into the furnace beneath and were soon burned to death. The cries of the victims were drowned by the beating of the drums. The high places were the mounds or the hills upon which the altars were placed. The mount that is before Jerusalem is the Mount of Olives. Here Solomon also erected altars to the gods of his wives. These idols in their worship were abominable to God. Hence they are said to be the abomination of the Ammonites and the abomination of Moab. The Ammonites and Moabites were descendants of Lot and inhabited the country east of the Dead Sea and of the lower Jordan. Solomon did this. For all his foreign wives, there was no stopping place once he had begun. He could not show partiality as he had many wives. In all these ways Solomon did that which was evil in the sight of Jehovah, and went not fully after Jehovah, as did David his father. In 1 Kings chapter 11, verses 9 and 10, we read, "And Jehovah was angry with Solomon, because his heart was turned away from Jehovah the God of Israel, who had appeared unto him twice. And he had commanded him concerning this thing, that he should not go after other gods. But he kept not that which Jehovah commanded." This anger of Jehovah was not an outburst of passion, but a righteous indignation against sin. God is a righteous judge, yea, a God that hath indignation every day. Psalm 7 and verse 11. Sin is always displeasing to God and brings its evil consequences to the guilty. We have seen above how Solomon's heart was turned away from God, who had appeared unto him twice. God first appeared unto Solomon when he was at Gibeon, and he prayed for wisdom. And in the second time, when he dedicated the temple, in 1 Kings 9, verses 1 through 9, these appearances and blessings of God were sufficient to encourage Solomon to be loyal to God, and had commanded him concerning this thing, that he should not go after other gods. At the time of these appearances, God gave his commandment. Also, Solomon had all the previous teaching and warnings of God on this subject. But with all these things before him, Solomon kept not that which Jehovah commanded. And so 1 Kings chapter 11 and verse 11. "Wherefore Jehovah said unto Solomon, Forasmuch as this is done of thee, and thou hast not kept my covenant and my statute which I had commanded thee, I will surely rend the kingdom from thee and give it to thy servant." God told Solomon he would do this because Solomon had gone after these idols and had not kept his covenant and his statutes. Solomon's sins and taxation and oppression and dissatisfied the people and had prepared for them to lead them to this destruction. While God did this, it was not arbitrary and for division's sake. God teaches peace and overrules contentions and divisions for the good of his people. This division was the natural consequence of Solomon's course of cruelty, oppression, and sin. This servant that came to disturb that kingdom, this servant was Jeroboam, the son of Nebat. He was an ambitious and wily and gifted politician. He was an Ephraimite, a young man, industrious, with and a mighty man of valor. Solomon recognized his value and promoted him into the charge over all the labor of the house of Joseph. The prophet Ahijah told Jeroboam that God would rend the kingdom from Solomon and give 10 tribes to him. And why God would do this? This should have been fulfilled, Jeroboam. This should have filled Jeroboam with the greatest of all in reverence and determination to lead the people in the pure worship of God and the loyalty and faithfulness to God. But on the contrary, he could not in his ambition await God's own time to give him the kingdom. And he raised his hand against Solomon. However, Ahijah told him that this would not be during Solomon's lifetime. Because Jeroboam lifted up his hand against Solomon, Solomon sought to kill him, and he fled into Egypt and remained there until Solomon's death. God promised Solomon that the distribution would not come And this disruption would not come until after his death because of David.